Take your Bibles from James chapter 3 tonight. James chapter 3. And wonderful singing tonight. I got my hanky out. Amen. I almost went back to Costell on you. Amen. Waving my hanky there. Amen. The longer I'm in the South, you know, I think you're slowly converting me over here. But, what's the sad thing? Sometimes you go to churches and they don't let you know if they've been blessed. Amen. It's okay to say amen. Amen. When the Lord's blessing your heart. Amen. So James chapter 3 tonight. James chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at communication tonight. Communication. We say thousands of words each day. Some of us say more words. Some of us say less words. But in any case, we make thousands of decisions of what to say and what not to say. And that's sometimes always a hard decision to make. What am I supposed to say in this situation? What am I not supposed to say in this situation? And as God's people, we are expected by our Lord to be different. We are expected to be a peculiar people. The Bible tells us that we're to come out from among them. We're to come out from the lost world around us and be ye separate, different. And the world expects us to be. The Lord expects us to live different, to look different, and to talk differently. And tonight, as we see God's expectation of us, we're going to be in James chapter number 3. And one of the peculiar things about Christians is that of the aspect of love, or charity as it's described in the Bible. And because we are to reflect the love of God, for God so loved the world, we learned about that this morning, we know that. But as God's people, we are to love others as God loves them. We are commanded to love those around us. And we should have that desire if we have our hearts full of God's love. It's only going to come out. Amen. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, when we're full of the love of God, and we are just full of the blessing of God, we're going to let that out and to express that to other people, whether that be our family, our friends, people we know, the lost world outside. We're going to express that love. And there's two main vehicles for expressing this love. First is actions, doing things for other people, showing that you care about them, helping them, being concerned. Another area, the second main vehicle, is out of words. Words are powerful. As I've mentioned many times before, wars have been started over words and wars have been avoided with words. Words are extremely powerful, as God's Word tells us tonight. And our tongue can either be a great vehicle for God's blessing, or it can be a great vehicle for destruction. But God has given us instructions here. We're in James chapter number 3 tonight. James chapter number 3. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. And we're going to read the entire chapter. I know everybody gets scared when a preacher says that, but it's only 18 verses long. Okay, so, oh no, you've been to those messages, right, where they read 2 and 3 chapters? I mean, it's good. Oh no, it's only 18 verses, everybody. It's okay. I know it's Sunday night. I'll do that. I saved that for Sunday morning. Anyway, James chapter 3, beginning verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of man. Verse 8, this is important for us to see here, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, verse 17 is our key tonight. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dearly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for all of the Bible, but we're especially thankful for the book of James. So practical, dear Lord, to show us how we are to live. And I pray that tonight as we look at your laws concerning our lips and the words that we say, dear Lord, that what we think in our heart and what comes out of our lips would be pleasing in your sight. We pray your blessing on this message. I pray that you'd help me to be clear. Give me the right words to say, dear Lord. Help me to say what I ought to say and not to say what I ought not. Pray that you hide me behind the cross and fill me with thy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled, Seven Royal Laws of Communication. Seven Royal Laws of Communication. So this is a lot to look at, but we see in the first part of the chapter that we have a great problem. All of us have tongues and lips, and we have the ability to form words, and we have to understand something, that our mouth is not our friend many times, right? We've all have said something the wrong way. All of us have used our lips to sin. Because of our sin nature, we all have that. And so I want to give you an encouragement tonight according to our passage here. You cannot control your mouth. I'll say that again. You cannot control your mouth. As a pastor, this is not an encouraging way to start out the message. We can't, but the Lord can. God can give control over our mouth. James 4:7, just over a page. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're to draw nigh to the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have power. God has rule over all things, including our mouth. So here in verse number 18, we see that if we're to be Christians, God wants us to be wise. God wants us to be full of wisdom. Look at Proverbs. We see wisdom in those that are wise and the righteous given so many commands and instructions. And right here we have two wisdoms that are presented here in the latter part of the chapter. That of the worldly wisdom and that of heavenly wisdom. The wisdom that is of this world and the wisdom that is from God. The wisdom that the world says you need to do this and the wisdom from God says we should maybe not do this, but we should rather do this. And each day we are presented with choice after choice after choice, and we have a reservoir of worldly wisdom to pull from, but also we have a reservoir of godly wisdom to pull from. Which one are you going to pull from when it comes to the matter of our lips? And if we're going to be wise with our lips, there are seven commands here that talk about, or seven descriptions, if you will, about wisdom from God. That God is not going to lead us into these certain situations. And if we apply this to our lips, remember the context here is our mouth, is what we're talking about, the context of our mouth. We have to understand that God has instructions like, well, I'll just try not to say things I ought not say. I'll try this, I'll try that. No, God has some things. And there's some questions we need to ask. Just as we ask questions in our mind, hey, is this what I ought to be thinking about? Is this something that I should be desiring? But here, in the form of a question, seven royal laws of communication, all of them in the form of a question. Let's look down at verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Is first what? Pure. So, okay, the first royal law tonight of communication is, are my words pure? Are the words that are going to be coming out of my mouth, are they pure words? Now, by the way, not pure according to the world's standard, pure according to God's standard. Because God's standard of purity is a whole lot different than the world's. Basically, the world says as long as you're not saying the cuss word, it's pure. But there's a lot of things and ways we can say things that are not pure or maybe don't have a pure motive. Let's look over at Psalm 12, verse 6. Because if we are to be the reflection of our Lord and our Savior, if we're to be a reflection of our heavenly King, God's words are pure. We hold the pure word of God's in our hand. Praise God for that. But God's words are always right. God's words are always pure. And we ought to reflect those. Psalm 12, verse number 6. Remember, we are God's representatives. We are God's ambassadors. When we go out into the lost world, when we go to our families, when we go to our children, when we go to our spouse, we must have pure words, as God does. Psalm 12, 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. And we should reject impure words. Ephesians 4, 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Things that are corrupt. What did we learn? That when we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. So anything that is fleshly that wants to come out of our mouth. And you know what the world says? Hey, when you have something come up, let it fly, man. You know, just get your mind out there. Let's just say what you need to say. That's the world's wisdom. And we're going to get this a little later as one of the other commands. But is that the pure way to go? Is that the pure way to say things? And we know that our mouth only expresses what's already in our heart. Our mouths say what's already in our heart. If we have impure words coming out of our mouth, then there must be an impurity in our hearts. If you have bitterness, envy, strife, pride, let's look back at James chapter 3 for verse 16. For envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If you have aught against someone, bitterness or even bitterness against God, envy, strife, pride, the works of the flesh, if you have those in your heart, those you're going to use your mouth in a way that is fleshly and not spiritual. So before we say something to someone, before we express our thought, make sure that we are in a right place in our heart and in our thinking and ask the question, are my words pure? Are my words pure? Let's continue on to the second tonight. Let's look at the second part. Our first pure is first pure. Then what's the next one? Peaceable. Peaceable. So let me ask this question. Are my words peaceable? Now, we know this. Our words that we speak can cause a fight or they can prevent one, depending on how we use our words. And God commands us in Romans 12, 18, that if all possible, we're to live peaceably with all men. If it's possible, right? There's some people that just won't be peaceable, okay? But it should not be our fault that there's not peace. As God's people, we should do all that we can to live peaceably with those around us, including those that live in our home, including our spouse, including our children. If there is to be a conflict, let us not be the one beginning the conflict, but be the one that ends it. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers. For what? They shall see God. Oh, we need to be fire extinguishers, not fire starters. Now, we see here in James chapter 3 is that our tongue is set on fire of hell. That's a very descriptive statement. That shows that that's what's going on inside, and we need to be careful. And there have been wars and conflicts, all these things. What is the big war going on right now, ideologically? How do people express that? They use words, many times hateful words, disrespectful words, words that are not peaceable. A person with a pure heart wants to have peace with those around them. People that have a pure desire in their heart, they don't want to start a fight with people. Amen. Guess what? When we go and knock on a door and tell someone how to be saved, we're not there to start a fight. Amen. You know, and yes, we stand for the truth and we fight for what's right, but we ought not be the one that goes looking for one. That's not what God would have us do. Yeah, you don't see the Apostle Paul picking a fight. Okay. Though trouble found him many times, but he did what was right. But you see all over and over again, he does his best to cause for peace. Peter and the others, guess what? Trouble found them. They had a lack of peace with those around them, but it wasn't because of their decisions. They did their best to remain peaceable. And we understand as Christians, we're going to find trouble. You know, when people come to you and there is conflict because you're a Christian and because you're a follower of God in the Bible, Christians sometimes think they've done something wrong. No, the world is going to take you on. Not everyone, but there's going to be, the world doesn't like what God stands for and what Jesus Christ stands for, and knows that is in opposition to what they stand for. And there's going to be some that are going to pick a fight with you. But how are you going to respond to that is a good question. And in those situations, ask the question, are my words peaceable? Are your words peaceable at home? Right? Oh, all of us can get in the flesh about things. Amen. Don't act there as a pastor. I never do that. That's never, I have never gotten irritated with anybody in all my life. Right? I have never. And you, all of us have had that situation with our spouse or with our kids, and where you are tempted, it comes to your mind just to say that little ink, you know, just, it's right there and you just want to push it over the edge. Okay? That's a temptation, and you know, and the devil goes in here and says, do it, do it, do it, push it over the edge. No, we said, you know, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, I need peaceable words. And guess what? When we got to go to the Lord at those moments. Because if we leave it to ourselves, we're just going to push it over the edge. We need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me, please. I don't want to be a fire starter. Help me be a fire extinguisher. Are my words peaceable? Now, let's continue on here. Are my words, what's the third part? Gentle. Gentle. You can say the right thing the wrong way. I'll say that again. You can say the right thing the wrong way. You can say the truth, but you can be too blunt about it. You can be too, you can come across as arrogant about it, haughty about it, many different things. It's important how we say things. And many times when you talk to somebody, well, you said it, well, they just need to get used to how I am. That's just how I say things. That's just how I am. And you know what? All of us are tempted to say that. You know what that is? It's pride. It's me. Well, people just need to get over themselves and just understand how I am. Oh, we need to have gentle words. You can offend someone by how you say something. And so many hide behind the banner of, well, it's the truth, isn't it? It's the truth. You know, there's a way to say things. You know, I've sat under many different preachers, and there's been preachers that say the same thing. They're saying the same truth, and one is entreating and having gentle words, entreating people to come to the Lord, and then there's others that are just preaching it. They're crass, and they're just they're going out of their way to be offensive, going out of their way to just try to get in your face. You want to pick a fight with me? I'll just say that's not Holy Spirit preaching. That's fleshly preaching, and it's the same truth. But unfortunately, it's a sad thing when you see people. They get turned off to the gospel. They get turned off to God through that. Because they see, yes, they see the truth, but they see the flesh distracts from that. We can get in the way of God's work in people's lives by how we say things. Okay, we need to be careful about that. Yes, we need to speak the truth, but Colossians 4:6, turn over there. But words that are seasoned with salt. What does salt do? Salt purifies. Salt preserves, and we need to make sure that the words that come out of our mouth, yes, are purified, as we looked at, are we having pure words, but also words that are going to further the gospel of Christ. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Let your speech be always with what? Grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let me ask you this. How would you like someone to say something to you? Would you want someone to come and be in your face? Or would you like someone to entreat you as a brother, as the Bible commands us? Grace. Not saying this. What happens here is that people say, well, you know what, I want to be gentle. And so gentle means that I say nothing. And gentle means, well, they're just going to figure it out. I'm afraid I'm going to offend somebody. You know, we can go too far back. And we can neglect to tell the truth. We can neglect to step back and say, well, I need to say something, but make sure I say it the right way, in the right spirit. What do we see constantly throughout the scriptures? That we're to edify one another, help one another. Instead, we're so afraid we're going to offend somebody, we suck into ourselves. I'm not talking to anybody about anything. That hurts the body of Christ as well. Make sure when you do say something, we should be saying, and we should be using words that are seasoned with salt, that are full of grace. Our desire should be to win someone with our gentle words, not just say our piece and be done with it. Some people say, well, just say, I just said my piece. I'm done with it. Though it's up to them now. Well, our desire should be to make peace and have gentle words. Next, continue on. We see gentle and easy to be entreated. So this is the fourth one. Are my words reflecting servanthood? Are my words reflecting servanthood? Servanthood to Christ and serving other people. Easy to be entreated means to be easily asked. Meaning that when someone asks you something, you have a good response, right? We can have either a positive response or a negative one. When someone asks us for help, oh, man, oh, you had to ask me today, right? You had to ask me today. You had to, oh, man, I'm busy. Do you really need help right now? You know, sure. You know what? Easily being treated means that you're presenting someone that they're not an inconvenience. And that they are important and that their needs are important. Do your verbal responses show you desire to help someone? Right? And guess what? We all have our times. Maybe we're busy with something and our wife asks us to do something. And we just got started with it, right? It's interesting how wives and different people or our children, just when we're started on something, they ask a question! Like, oh! Some of you are laughing, some of you are like, uh-oh, you know? Hey, guess what? I'm there too. This sermon's for me too. Because we're all there. And we have that temptation to go, what? What do you want? I'm busy. No, instead, we need to be expressing our servanthood, submitting ourselves one to another, that we're to be edifying, building up, and helping one another. Is your response in line with Christ's command to serve one another? Is our verbal response in line with that? Next, full, easy being treated, full of mercy. Are my words merciful? Merciful words. Look at Proverbs 10:19. Now, have you ever wanted to give someone a piece of your mind? You're like, oh, if I could just have 5 minutes with them. 5 minutes. I could fix all of their problems. I wish I could sit there and just explain to them how it is and how they can fix it. It'll all be fixed. I can have peace in my mind and then I can just let them have it and then I'll feel better. Now, can I tell you something? Giving them a piece of your mind isn't about helping them. It's about you and feeling that you got it all out there. Proverbs 10:19 very clearly tells us how we're to use our words. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. There are situations we shouldn't say something, even though we really want to. Okay? There are times, you know, you want to get out there and maybe it's something that a person, you don't even know, a lost person said. You know, maybe they said something about the Lord that's incorrect or something that happened. And guess what? That wells up in you and you just want to really give them a piece of your mind. Let me ask you something. If you give them a piece of their mind, are they going to get saved at the end? Or are they just going to say, oh, wow, that's a grumpy Christian? Guess what? The world is constantly needling trying to get a response out of us. So they can have an excuse, say, ha, see, they're just like the rest of us. And we are. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. None of us more special than another. However, our words mean merciful. And you know what? We say, well, Pastor, you understand, I'm justified. I'm justified in saying what I'm saying. I'm justified in letting them know how it is. I understand that. I'm not saying you're not, but is it merciful? Mercy is withholding what we justly deserve. Sometimes our idea of a solution is to give someone a good tongue lashing. You know what? That they just got it. Guess what? And we tend to do this with who? Our kids. We can do this with our kids. And just let, if they just understand, they don't. They're a child. Man, I had to remind myself of that all the time. I remember, children don't think like we think. Amen. Parents, you know that, right? Right? You know, if that's the first time you heard that, take that to the bank, because children think of things in a much simpler way than we do. And you know what? It's amazing. The best theological statements I've ever heard have come out of the mouth of my children and other children I've talked to. Amen. It's just you stand back and you're like, wow, that just blessed my soul. Because they got it. I didn't have it, but they did. Right? And we're supposed to have it all together. You know, don't let your kids teach you some things. But, you know, we think that, well, that'll fix them. I just tell them. You don't understand. I just got it welling up inside of me and I just need to tell them. Showing mercy of Christ, of the Lord, is, are we showing them mercy? Oh, we need to show people mercy. You know, is it simply our pride, our proud solution to a problem only God can fix? You know what, we think that if we go and we give someone a tongue lashing, that it's going to fix their problem. It may change their behavior, but it probably won't fix their problem that was causing the behavior. Oh, sure, can they stop doing what they were doing? But inside, it can cause a hurt and doesn't fix the problem. Many times we use a tongue lashing when it's a problem only God can fix. Let God be God. It's not up to us to give people a tongue lashing. It's up to us to have words of mercy and truth. Once again, meaning that there's a time to refrain, but also if we are always constantly jumping in and giving our verbal solution to everything and a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Be careful. Be careful. Let's look back at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality. Without partiality. Are my words fair? Are my words fair? Do you treat different groups of people differently? 1 Peter 1:17 tells us that God is not partial. God does not favor one person over another. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There isn't any partiality with God. Neither should there be with us. Now, let me ask you this. Do we treat our families different than those at church with our words? If you're giving the words of encouragement to those at church or to someone struggling, sending them a text message, we ought to be giving those same edifying and gracious and merciful and peaceful words to our families at home. If you're giving a word of encouragement to a brother or sister in Christ, you ought to be giving those same words of encouragement to your spouse. Oh, are we partial with our words? We treat people differently at home than we do at church or maybe at work. You treat your co-workers one way, you treat your family another way. Oh, don't be partial. Be fair with your words. Do our families get the real version of us while those at work or church get the words we should be saying at home? Don't be partial with your words. You need to be fair in what we say to others because God is fair. God is fair. Amen. God is fair. God always has the right answer. God always has the right view of things, but we can be partial, maybe sometimes even without realizing it. By the way, as far as our words go, our families at home ought to get the best of our words, of our encouragement and of our grace and mercy. Everything we say needs to be a reflection of Christ. Are your words fair? Fair. Are my words hypocritical? Let's look at that. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means to say one thing and do another. That to condemn someone for something that you do yourself. What did Jesus say? Look at Matthew 23:28. Jesus had a lot to say about the religious ruling class of Israel at that time. And that they were hypocrites. And that they were so full of themselves. And they would proclaim and preach to others that they need to do this, this, and that to be truly holy before God, but yet they wouldn't follow what they preached themselves and taught. Matthew 23:28 says this, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Jesus consistently exposed that. They would use their words to proclaim purity and holiness, but they would not follow those very same words. We need to mean what we say and say what we mean. Don't say one thing and do another. Because you know who knows? Your spouse knows. Your kids know. Everybody, there are those in your life that know. Maybe the person sitting in the pew next to you isn't going to know. But maybe your coworker at work isn't going to know. Maybe that stranger that you met isn't going to know. But those close to you are going to know. Oh, let's not have hypocritical words. Sometimes if we're full of our own self-righteousness, we can lift ourselves up. Well, I would never do such a thing and condemn others that do. And this happens many times in the area of immorality and impurity. I don't understand how this person over here could do such a horrible thing. But then you're watching things on your internet that you ought not be watching. Oh, I would never do such a thing. Oh, but you wish you could. That's a hypocrite. That's someone who says one thing, but inside they're another. We need to be genuine. What our world needs is genuine Christians. Amen. So what our world needs is people that really have a relationship with the Lord, who are genuine Christians, and that follow what God says in relation to our words. Now let me ask you something here. Is there room for things that we like to indulge in? Are there room for idle words here and what God commands us to do? The Bible tells us we're going to give account for every idle word that is spoken. So what is an idle word? Well, idle word can mean a lot of different things. It can mean mostly what it means is just empty. Empty words, words that could have been used to bring someone to Christ, words that could have been used in edification, words that could have been used in a lot of ways. Also, gossip is something that's an idle word. Something talking about things we ought not talk about. Also, we know we're not supposed to have corrupt words come out of our mouth. But in our day and age, you know, you see shirts everywhere that talk about what's the number one thing you see in church talking about communication. What is the number one thing that we see shirts about? What is it? Who knows? What is it? Starts with an S. Sarcasm. Someone said it. All right. Right? You know, these words, don't mind me, I'm sarcastic, right? Do we find that in the Bible? You know, it's in our culture. Uh-oh, I stepped on somebody's toe. I'm stepping on myself because I can tend to be sarcastic myself. It's part of our culture. It's part of what we do. But let me ask you a question. Honestly, in looking at what God says in His Word, looking at all of these commands, is that in line with the Bible? If we're honest with ourselves, we say, well, you know, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter what we say. What we say matters. And we're going to give account one day for all the words that we say. So when we look at this, is sarcasm pure? No, because it has in the root of it, it's trying to lower somebody else. It's making fun of somebody else. It's trying to make yourself look better in your own eyes or somebody else's eyes. Let me ask, the sarcasm, is it peaceable? No, sarcasm causes fights. Sarcasm causes hurt feelings. Is sarcasm gentle? We could go down through. Does it follow any of those things? Plus, I could use any other type of thing. Is angry words, or do they follow these commands? No, they don't. So tonight, we need to look at ourselves, and we need to look at the Word of God and say, Lord, show me. And many times we already know where we fall and where we fail and where we're weak. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, will you help me? Look at verse 18. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. God wants us to have the fruit of righteousness. If you follow these commands, we will find peace in our hearts and also among ourselves. If we're following these commands, there's not a room for angry words. There's not room for a fight. There's not room for dissension. There's not room for hurt feelings if we're following the commands of God. Is it possible to communicate with people without hurting their feelings? Yes, it is. Is it possible to communicate with people and to show them the love of God and the gentleness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, and that people say, wow, they spoke gracious and merciful words to me? Yes, it's possible. And unfortunately, in a lot of conservative circles, because of the stands that they have taken and the stands they have had to take, it has made, unfortunately, some people hard in their words. Nothing wrong with standing for truth. Amen. We need to stand for it. you know, what we sang the song, victory through grace, amen. We need to stand. I mean, that one gets excited. That just gets excited to go out and whoop on the devil, okay, amen. That's an exciting song. That gets you like, all right, I'm ready. Lord, send me. I want to take somebody on. I want to give a thumping to the devil. By the way, we can't, but the power of God and the armor of God, we can. You know, people say, well, we need to shrink back in fear of the devil. We don't need to fear him. We need to respect his power and understand that we are no match for him, but greater is he that is in you, amen, than he that is in the world. Our Lord and Savior, we have a mighty King who has won the battle. And he will give us the power to defeat the devil. And where the devil defeats us so many times is in our words, which is what chapter 3 deals with. The devil doesn't just defeat us in areas of things outside or morality. He does in those areas, but also he defeats us in our thinking and defeats us in the words that come out of our mouth. If the devil can get us off track with our mouth and how we use our mouth, then we will not be able to use it to bring people to Christ. We will not be able to use it to win our families to Christ. We won't be able to use it as a tool for the glory of God. Our mouth is a tool that God gave to us. But who are you going to yield it to? Who are we going to yield our members to obey? Who are we going to yield them to? But the truth here, let's look back at verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No, it doesn't. So if we have God, we bless God and we thank the Lord, but yet we're angry with our spouse, we're angry with our children, we're angry, and we have words that are damaging. That means we can't have that. You can't have sweet water and bitter. So one of them's counterfeit. One of them's the real you. One of you is the fake you. One of them are genuine words and one of them are fake words. And you know what? We don't need to fake being sinful, do we? We don't. Oh, but people try and fake being spiritual. You know, I've talked to people and, you know, and made visits and everything, knocking on people's doors, and they knew I was coming here, yelling and screaming and everything. Pastor's here! Open the door. Oh, hi, Pastor. Welcome to our lovely home. Once you come in, and you just heard them cussing and screaming and, you know, slamming doors, and, oh, Pastor, you're here. And, you know, and when they do that, I almost laugh. I try not to. I said, I really try and be good, but I almost laugh because, yeah, I feel like saying, you really think I didn't hear that? You really think that? But you know what? You got to be gracious and merciful. Sometimes I don't want to be. That's the time that's happened. But you just realize that just this verse right here, blessings and cursings from the same mouth. So what is that? So what words were genuine? The words that I heard before they opened the door. That's what was really there. And the words that were given for my benefit were just that, for my benefit. People do say things for the benefit of their own self-image. Should we be concerned about our self-image? In one way, no, but our testimony, yes, we ought to be concerned about it. Not being a fake one, but being a genuine witness for the Lord. And where we look today, and so types of communication. I mentioned a moment ago about sarcasm and that people put it on their shirts. You know what? Well, I'm just sarcastic. I'm this, I'm that. I'll say this. Sarcasm is sin. It's using our mouth in the way God did not intend us to. And putting it on your shirt and saying, hey, making light of sin, God notices that. Our world makes fun of sin. Our world makes fun. It's a terrible thing. We have the sodomite flag out there today. You do realize that whole the rainbow flag is in your face of God, because God promised not to destroy the world by a flood ever again. And they have taken that, and the devil said, in your face, God. Can't get us. Can't destroy us. And that's a sad thing. And it's a sad thing when Christians take the things that the world makes fun of, makes light of, that sin, and say, hey, that's okay. The Bible is where we decide what's right and wrong. What we do with our mouth, what we do with our lips is extremely important. So tonight, God is the author of peace, and he desires for all believers to be the propagators of this peace. We ask him to make you a peacemaker with your words tonight. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I thank you for your word. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that we would be honest in our heart and our life. That we, dear Lord, would would be honest with ourselves and honest with you when it comes to our communication. Oh, Lord, we all fall short. I fall short so many times. But you're gracious and merciful. You forgive us. Help us, Lord, to do right with our mouth, to use our lips for pure things and peaceable things. No room for gossip or anger or speaking of evil things, corrupt communication out of our mouth, dear Lord. Help us, Lord, to turn those things aside. It's so hard many times, Lord, when we're around people that use those corrupt words and talk about corrupt things. Lord, I pray that you keep our minds and our hearts pure and that we be able to speak those precious and gracious words that you give us. We pray that you would bless us and help us tonight, dear Lord. Help us to be what you would have us to be, not what we desire to be, but what you command us to be and what you desire of us and what you expect of us, Lord, tonight. Pray that you speak to us in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.